There is evidence that the Church of Constantinople has lost the Holy Spirit indeed. I think it can be compared to Rome, because the same rapture happened there. Rome aggressively demanded and claimed the submission of all the churches. It is very important right now. In the end, this church policy resulted in the events of 1054, when the Patriarch of Constantinople was anathematized, and there was the same reaction in response, which resulted in the rupture that exists till now. Constantinople today is following the same path that Rome followed when it fell off the church. Now, with its actions towards Ukraine and the Ukrainian church, it demonstrated that it followed in the footsteps of Rome, demanding unconditional submission from everyone else without even asking for the opinion of any other church, and acting against the position of the Russian Orthodox Church, in whose church jurisdiction the Ukrainian Church is. And I mean the Ukrainian Church, and not such organizations as a so-called Patriarchate or a so-called autocephalous church, which were not recognized by any Orthodox Church, including the Church of Constantinople. And suddenly now Constantinople voluntarily, by its personal act, does exactly the same that Rome did in the 11th century and, of course, before, even before that. This is the first and the foremost argument in favor of the fact that in this particular case Constantinople is infected with the spirit of pride, which is the main and sufficient argument for us to speak of the fact that Constantinople is depriving itself of the Holy Spirit, because the spirit of pride is the spirit of resistance to the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said that whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. So this straightforward pride is the strongest argument that demonstrates the fall of Constantinople as that of the spiritual center. But there are also some other important arguments, such as lifting of anathema from people who were anathematized by their own church, that is, by the Russian church. And as you know, no one can lift an anathema from a layman or from a clergyman of any church. I mean, no other church can do that. So there are no such canonical rules. This contradicts all the canonical norms of the church life. Constantinople did it. Moreover, it even sent their bishops to set up one more new church. But technically, there are already three churches in Ukraine, and he's trying to create one more, the fourth church. So, where can we see the anti-Christian spirit? In the created chaos, hostility, and animosity in Ukraine, in the Ukrainian people, in the people that considers itself to be Orthodox. Whose spirit is it? This is the result of the pride, which is the driving force of Constantinople today. And of course, the annulment act is also very important. The annulment of the decree that is 350 years old when Constantinople gave the Kiev metropolis from the religious jurisdiction of Constantinople to jurisdiction of the Russian Church. The attempt to annul the decree now, that is three centuries later, can be compared to the situation if the European Union would announce that all the peace treaties concluded in the preceding 300 years would be annulled. What would that mean? It would mean such reconsideration of state boundaries, which would result in hostility, bloodshed, and the world war. That's what Constantinople is doing in church, which results in the devil atmosphere, born, as I said, by the spirit of hostility, animosity, doubt, disappointment, and despondency. Constantinople is doing it not just against the opinion of other Orthodox churches, but also against its own affirmation and recognition as the only Orthodox Ukrainian church of the church, which is the part of the Russian Orthodox Church. And I should say that it can be the illustration of the pride that instead of calling a conference or at least a meeting of the heads of all the Orthodox churches in order to discuss the problems of Ukraine, Constantinople decided to take the decision single-handedly, even though it has no canonical rights to do so. So here comes pride again. So here it is obvious that indeed now Constantinople has repeated this terrible step which Rome took 1,000 years ago. It followed in its footsteps, and now Constantinople has become the same as the Roman Church became to the Orthodoxy. It is not a church, because it resisted to the Holy Spirit of God, and it chose the path of pride and lust for power. So From now on, all its sacraments are not regarded as sacraments, because these sacraments are the function of church. So where there is no Holy Spirit, there is no church, and so no sacraments are possible. So what our synod called the rupture of the Eucharistic communion shouldn't be regarded as if there is Eucharist in Constantinople, but we don't want to have the communion with them. No, the Eucharist is indivisible, but we should understand that the Eucharist as the sacrament does not happen in that church, though the rite is performed. But this is the same situation that had place in the Roman Church 1,000 years ago. So the decision of our synod is absolutely legitimate, and we must understand this. This is terrible, this rupture that took place. This is a sorrow of the same kind as the one that happened 1,000 years ago. But how can we help it? I guess that the general state of the Orthodoxy led up to this line. So we should realize that everything that happens by the providence of God has the aim for us to look inside our souls, to realize our inner state, and not to go looking for some outer reasons which result in such disasters in our lives. The time has come to pay attention to the state of our souls, and not only of our souls, but also we should pay attention to the life of our Orthodox churches in general. It is obvious that the modern Orthodox churches are secularizing very quickly, and you can see it if you get acquainted with the agenda of all the Christian conferences. Numerous problems are discussed there. There are political problems, international problems, cultural problems, those of arts and sports, and so on and so forth. But there is just one thing that almost no one is interested in, and these are the questions of the spiritual life, its laws and principles, there are spiritual problems both in our individual and social and church life. The questions of the spiritual life are gradually disappearing at all. And here we can witness the spiritual degradation of our modern church life, which resulted in this particular tragedy. What is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Fathers speak quite clearly about it. For instance, Theophan, the recluse, explains it very well. When I see the truth and I consciously resist it, especially when it has something to do with the spiritual life and my actions, and there is the conscious resistance to the truth. This is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. For example, in Gospel, when our Lord Jesus Christ resurrected the four-day Lazarus, it was clear there was no doubt left who he is, that he is the Messiah that prophets had spoken about. And then Sanhedrin takes the decision not just to kill Christ, but also to kill Lazarus as the witness. This is the brightest example of the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But also there is this blasphemy when, for example, as we see now, when there are many canonical rules, decisions of both the ecumenical and local councils, which don't allow any bishop of a different diocese to interfere into another diocese and to abolish any rules there. This was also confirmed by our Synod in Minsk. So there is a very strong canonical base, and it doesn't allow the Patriarch of Constantinople to interfere with any decisions of a different church. And the Patriarch of Constantinople knows it perfectly well as the bishops, who together with their Patriarch took this terrible and anti-canonical decisions. They know it perfectly well, and still they took these decisions. What does it mean? Only that they consciously resist the truth that is obvious to them. That's what the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is, and that's why we can say that in this particular case, in the case of Ukraine, the Church of Constantinople followed the way of the blasphemy. Will they repent? I hope so.